Welcome to Pastor Bill's classroom. This study is in the Acts of Jesus, lesson 54, almost but not quite.
Welcome back to our midweek study, continuing our way through the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 26 today, down in verse 24 and following. Paul is in the middle of a trial. Well, actually, he's had several trials. And now he's been in the custody of Festus. Remember, we talked about Festus last time. Festus doesn't know what to do with him. There's no charges really of any kind of consequence against him. Technically, he should have let him go, but like I said, it's politically expedient for them to keep Paul in prison because he's trying to do the Jews a favor, trying to keep the revolt of the Jews down, and at least temporarily he's able to do that. And there, the Jews, of course, thinking if we can keep Paul in prison, we can stop the gospel, which of course is not true. But while in prison, as we talked about last time, Paul writes several letters, part of which are in your New Testament. So, incredibly productive time for Paul, even though he might have thought it would have been so much better for him to be out on the mission field. He does so much more for the church in that process, and we always need to be ready for whatever God has for us and hands to us. So, great thing there. We're going to be looking at that. That's going to be Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 29 in just a minute. Before we do that, though, we need to pray, and then I want to talk to you about something else, I guess, something to lead into that. So let's pray together. God, we lift our hearts to you. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for these that are examples to us, not perfect people at all, but people who sought to honor you with their lives, Lord, and we're seeking to do the same thing. We want your complete in absolute control over us, over all that we think and do and say, so that we can make a difference in this world and the opportunities you've given to us. We want to take this opportunity, God, just to focus on you and what your word is saying to us. And we pray that we would understand it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it that some people seem to miss opportunities and others tend to pick up on it? There was great question, because it's just like, you know, how can so many people miss something so obvious? And there was an experiment that was carried out by a psychologist, Richard Wiseman, and illustrated in his book. The title of the book was Did You Spot the Gorilla? Here's what he did. He describes this experiment. He provides, I think, a clue to why some people miss stuff, or maybe a lot of us, maybe all of us miss it sometimes. Something. He took a group of volunteers, and not one or two, quite a number of them. And he told them that they were going to be watching a basketball game, 30-second basketball, a clip of a basketball game. He told them that he wanted them to watch a particular team, not both of them, just one of them. And he wanted to count the number of times that team passed the ball back and forth between each other in that 30-second clip. And so that was their task. The thing that he did not tell them was that in the middle of that 30-second clip, there was going to be a man dressed like a gorilla who was going to run out in the middle of the basketball court, was going to beat his chest, you know, I guess like a gorilla. And then he was going to, you know, as quickly as he came on the court, he's going to quickly walk or run off the court. Didn't tell them they were going to do that. So the 30-second clip plays. People are watching for the basketball, you know, being passed. And at the end of the clip, he comes in, doesn't ask him anything about the number of times the ball was passed. Instead, he says, which one of you saw the gorilla? Here's what he found out. Time and again, no matter what the age group, no matter how, which sex, which background, didn't make any difference, most of the people never saw the gorilla. Isn't that interesting? So it's a major spot in the whole sequence there, but they were so focused on the task at hand, which was to see how many times the ball was passed between this one basketball team, that they literally missed this gigantic episode that takes place, as he refers to in his book. They missed the gorilla opportunities. We're so focused on the particularities of anything going on in our lives that we miss the gorilla opportunities. And our lives are a series of interrelated moments. Some are not that significant. Others can impact us forever. The rest of our lives, and even all the way into eternity, the stock that you almost invested in that quadrupled in the past 2 months, that was a missed opportunity. The anniversary that you almost remembered, right? I mean, those things have consequences, don't they? It missed out on some financial opportunities, maybe a couple of nights of miserable sleep on a couch. But we're going to read about a guy today who has an opportunity, and this opportunity is not only going to affect him just for this life, not just temporarily, it's going to affect him forever. This guy by the name of Agrippa, he's one of the Herods. Herods are not good people, but nonetheless, still, you know, Jesus is in the business of saving lost people and sinners, and he definitely is one of those. And he has an opportunity to accept the Lord. He doesn't take it. I want us to look at his opportunity and consider what's going on. Like I said, Paul's on trial again, and Festus doesn't know what to do with him, and so Agrippa and his wife are headed into town, and they're going to come by, and they're going to see Festus. And Festus asks, listen, would you sit in with me and hear the testimony of Paul? Because Paul has already appealed to Caesar, and which means as a Roman citizen, he's got a right to be heard. It's like the appealing to the Supreme Court. You have an opportunity, you have a right as a Roman citizen to appeal to Rome, and so that's what he does. He appeals to the emperor. And so Festus is going to send Paul because that's his given right as a Roman citizen, but he doesn't know what to tell the emperor. So I'm going to send this prisoner up there with, I don't know what the deal is with him. And he says, it just doesn't seem right. So he asks Agrippa to sit in and give him some advice. And so that's what they're doing. And Paul's giving his testimony here in chapter 26. He's telling about the experience he had on the road to Damascus and how God called him to this ministry and how he's being faithful to this ministry. And he's telling about the message of the gospel, the fact that Jesus has come to die for our sins and the fact that Jesus has rose again to prove that he's the Son of God. And it's about this time that Festus breaks in verse 24. While Paul was saying it, says this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. Paul says this, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. He said, I'm telling you the truth. For the king knows, he's talking about Agrippa. So here's Festus, who's the governor. The king, Agrippa, is sitting across the room with his wife, Bernice. The king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence. So Festus, he's a latecomer to the Palestine area. King Agrippa has been raised. He was born here. Father was Herod the Great, the same guy who tried to kill Jesus when Jesus was an infant. Remember, sends soldiers down to Bethlehem. That was his dad. So he's familiar with the times and the seasons and the circumstances, and especially the name of Jesus. He says, the king knows about these matters, verse 26, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. In other words, obviously, Jesus was very famous in the land, and the whole issue of his death and all these things, and the story and the fact of his resurrection. King Agrippa, here Paul turns to address King Agrippa directly. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He says, notice, I know that you do. Wow. What's he talking about? The prophets. It's one of the ways Jews referred to the whole Old Testament. Do you believe the prophets, Agrippa? I know that you do. So once you notice something, first of all, this is not a man who doesn't have faith, I should say. This is not a man who doesn't know the Bible. Is that enough? Well, let's look. King Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time, this is a question actually, even though it's not posed that way in the New American Standard. In a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian? In other words, almost? You're almost persuading me? Paul says, I would to God that whether in a short time or not only you, whether short or long, not only you, but also all who hear me this day. So Festus, his Bernice, Agrippa's wife, and any other guard standing in that room, all who hear me today might become such as I am, except for these chains. In other words, that you might become a Christian just like me, that you might place your faith in Christ, turn yourself in, confess your sins, repent of anything that you thought was going to save you. Turn your life over to Christ. He says, I wish that not only for you, Agrippa, who say you're almost there, but also your wife and Festus and everyone else here, that they would come all the way to Christ. So it's interesting a statement here. So he makes such a great opportunity. Almost, he says, you persuade me. Many opportunities will be missed by people that will come back to haunt them, but the greatest missed opportunity, of course, will be those who just missed Jesus. So you just missed him. You got that close. I mean, what better testimony, what better preacher, what better opportunity could he have had than to have the Apostle Paul writes the majority of the New Testament to give testimony to him. If he was going to hear about it, there's not a better preacher. There's not a better opportunity. He was going to have this opportunity, but he's going to miss it. Tragic, because he's so close, right? he's so close. And like Agrippa, there are a lot of people who are almost persuaded for Christ. Almost persuaded. Many like Agrippa who hear the truth, but once you've heard there is an added responsibility. We almost think of, well, almost is better than not at all. I don't know if I agree with that. In fact, I know for a fact the Bible doesn't. Peter doesn't. 2 Peter, notice, right here on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their back on the sacred command that was passed on to them. We have something in us that says, well, they were closer than they were. Well, I don't know if that's a great thing or not. Because almost is still hell, still lost. Agrippa says, almost. You in a short time, it won't be long. I don't know if that's a good thing. Many will almost get to heaven. But a person who almost gets to heaven is still spend an eternity in hell. How's that better? King Agrippa doesn't get any points for getting close, does he? No one does. No one does. A lot of people fail to accept Jesus for the same reasons I believe that Agrippa almost did. He almost does. He almost does, but does it because of his position. He's a king. Watch out. We want these high positions and these important things. And man, they can become a problem for us. Notice, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a little child will never enter it. See, it's tough when you're already way up there, like King Agrippa, to humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner, and I need Christ to repent and say, my whole idea of life and about eternity was completely wrong. That's hard to do, and the higher you get, the further you got to come down to get to the place where you can accept, as Jesus says, the kingdom of God. So they don't accept because of their position. They don't accept because of their possessions. This man was a very wealthy man as well. Here's what wealth can do for you. 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who want to get rich, is that you? Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with having money. But do you want to? Is that your goal? Do you love it? Is it your God? It's going to cause you a lot of problems, that God will. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Their position keeps them from doing it. Their possessions keep them from doing it. The pressure stops them from doing it. I mean, you're sitting with all eyes right in the courtroom, and here's King Agrippa. But listen, it's eternity at stake. It's eternity. So King Agrippa, I understand the pressure, but nonetheless, you're talking about your everlasting life here. So they don't come because of their position. They don't become because of possessions. They don't become because of the pressure. They almost do, but they don't because of procrastination. That's effectively what he said to Paul. You almost will. It won't be long. I'm going to put it off for now, but if I get another chance, I'm going to accept Christ. There'll be another time to make a decision later. The problem that it is that you understand that when you don't make a decision, you're actually making a decision. You actually are. John 3, verse 18, Jesus speaking, the one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has been judged already. So I'm not ready to believe yet. Well, you made a decision then. I'm not saying you can't back up on that. I'm just saying don't think that that is a non-decision. No, it is a decision. It is. Notice, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This may be your only shot. Like I said, life is a series of moments, and some of those moments can mean everything. True for Agrippa here. Sad story. This story isn't just about those who fail to accept Jesus, but it's also about those who have already accepted Jesus. Our lives are also a series of moments, series of opportunities to serve God. And we've only got a brief window called this life. And that window is going to close soon. So we have to take the moments that are brought to us and use them wisely. And if we miss them, we may be missing out on great opportunities. I read a story about a guy who went to work for a company called Activision. Activision was the leader in Video games. Back in the day when they were not on computers and they were not on television, they came through a thing called Atari. You know, I remember that. The Atari 2600. Well, Activision had this exclusive, lucrative account with Atari, and they made these cartridges that would go into the Atari 2600, and man, they were rolling in the dough. And they were just at their pinnacle. They were just, I mean, had all kinds of things going on to them. One of their younger executives came in to the office of the president, CEO of the company, and he made this suggestion to him. He says, hey, we've got, you know, all this cash and all these smart marketers and programmers. Why don't we try putting games that can be played on a computer? It was about this time that the PC was becoming more and more popular, and but it was more or less still a business tool. I mean, we're using it for word programming. I mean, word processing, we're using it for programming and that kind of thing. It was more or less business, and the concept of a computer being something that people would play games on wasn't quite there yet. And this young executive came in and says, why don't we, instead of just building cartridges, why don't we put games on floppy disks? Well, listen to what the CEO and president said to him. He said these very words: we're a cartridge business, and those machines use floppy disks. He says, forget it, we're not doing it. Wow. Sometimes we allow, as he went on to say, we allow success to rob us, rob our eyes, the ability to see opportunities. Sometimes because God's used us in the past, we don't see the things that are in front of us. So that's the past. That's yesterday. What about today? Today's a fresh day. And there are fresh opportunities coming our way. Like I said, our opportunities to serve the Lord also come in a series of moments. Moments that can make or break us and make the difference in our lives. One of those opportunities was experienced by a guy by the name of Moses. Remember Moses in the Old Testament? Moses was a servant of God, very successful. He'd been very successful in his ministry against a lot of odds. I mean, he'd been dealing with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the wilderness, feeding them, watering them, protecting them, shepherding them. It was tough. He had done well. I mean, he had a stellar career. And then a day came and an opportunity came that he missed. And circumstances were, as was quite often in the wilderness, the people were thirsty. They were complaining. They had come to Moses. They were nagging him about all this. Moses went to God. God says, listen, I want you to go out to the rock. All you've got to do is speak to the rock, and water will flow out of it, and the people will have water to drink. Well, Moses had had enough of these people. He'd had a belly full, and he was tired of them. So he takes them out to this rock, apparently in a harsh way, and very angry, and spoke very harshly to them. And instead of just speaking to the rock, he spoke to the people, and he said this wild, outlandish thing: must I bring water from this rock? Like, Moses, hang on. You aren't doing anything. You never have, and you know that. But he had a lapse. He had a moment, if you will. And not only did he not speak to the rock, he struck the rock twice. That water still came out. The people were still satisfied. But as far as Moses was concerned, missed opportunity. And it was so bad. It was such a crucial thing that he honored God in that way, and he failed to do it, that because of this failure, Moses missed the opportunity to go into the promised land. He'd been 40 years in the wilderness. And when he got to the border, he couldn't go because God wouldn't allow him. Because of this one opportunity. He's allowed to see it from a distance, but he was never allowed to go because a single opportunity. Hear me on this very clearly. He almost obeyed God, didn't he? Is almost enough? Apparently not. Partial obedience is truly still disobedience. It is. And our failures, when we miss opportunities as believers, don't just affect us, they often affect others. I read a story of a pastor, Pastor Jimmy Allen, former pastor of First Baptist Church San Antonio, who, speaking of a missed opportunity of another Baptist church and a little boy who attended there in the past, back in the 50s, a little dark-skinned boy who had attended there in Sunday school for 3 different years. And this is what he said about that little boy. He said, our chance to change things came and passed. He said, we missed him. We didn't know it, but there it was in front of us. This little boy who attended our church, our churches, there for 3 different years, Sunday school classes, he says, but somebody missed him. This little boy he was referring to back in the 50s was a little boy, well, he grew up to be, and he was at that time named Sirhan Sirhan. Sirhan Sirhan was actually a Palestinian Arab whose parents immigrated to the United States, and they were Christians. This little boy attended a Baptist church Sunday school for 3 years. Sirhan Sirhan, if you don't know who he is, he turns out to be the assassinator of Robert F. Kennedy. Shot him there in Los Angeles. And such a sad story. So Sirhan Sirhan at age 12 was attending a Sunday school class in a Baptist church, and for some reason didn't get the message. Almost, right? They almost could have changed things, almost could have made a difference, but something went wrong, and they don't know what it was, but as the pastor says, he says, we missed him. We missed him, and missed opportunities can be, well, they can be tragic. They really can. Let's covenant together not to miss our opportunities. Let's covenant together not to allow ourselves to think moments don't matter. Oh, they very much do. They very much do. What are we doing at this moment where God has us today, this day? Maybe our last day. Is that okay? It needs to be okay. So what are we doing to make a difference today? Let's put our hearts to that, shall we? Pray with me, please. God, I thank you for the moments you're giving to us. Open our eyes to see. And we don't have time to lapse. We don't have time to be lazy. We don't have time to just let ourselves go. We don't have time to retire from ministry. No, we don't. Because there's something eternal going on around us. Help our eyes to focus on those things and not miss the opportunities that are coming our way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.